Welcome to the Quiero.com Spanish Property Podcast, where we interview people who recently purchased their dream home in Spain. They tell us what worked, what didn't, and what they'd do differently next time. I'm Beth Davison, and today I'm speaking with Gary from the UK, who purchased apartments in Lion Villa and Vera in Almería with the specific intention to let them out. This unique perspective from a property investor gives an insight into how important it is to trust your agent. Gary worked with estate agent Spanish property experts to find his dream home in Spain. Check out the show notes at quiero.com/podcast to find links and resources mentioned in this episode.
Hi, I'm Gary from MGM Property Management. We first purchased, it's going back about a year and a half now, our first property in La Envia in Almería. And once we'd got that deal over the line, and there's always little niggles and nuances, which is different in Spain than it is in the UK. But once we were happy with that, the service that we received from our agent, and we were comfortable, then we proceeded to go and purchase two other properties in a different town, in Vera, a bit further away. And that's, to date, given us three properties for which we're on the rental market now in Spain.
Fantastic. And the fact that the first one went so well and encouraged you to get two more is surely a good sign.
It is. I mean, I have to say, it's not without issues. It's to be expected that there is issues. In fact, it does make you a little bit nervous when you're doing deals in a different country. But once we got over the hurdles, we lost our first property, and then we took a second one. But once we got that together and we got through the dealing with the solicitors and dealing with Spanish property law and banks and things like that, I think the most important thing was we had an agent that we by then knew over several months, we were happy with, comfortable with, trusted. And then, of course, the property deal went over the line. We refurbished it. All was well, but that gave us the confidence then to know, you know what, we've done a deal, it's worked, so now we can go and do further, and we intend to do more deals as well.
And when you're choosing an agent from an investor perspective, from a company perspective, rather than just a domestic buyer, what would you say the differences are in what you're looking for from an agent?
I was, being new to dealing with it in Spain, I contacted two or three agents because I was interested in two or three properties or at least finding out more about them. One didn't come back to me very quickly. One did. But the people we chose were a Spanish property expert, a chap called Daniel. And the reason I suppose that I went for this property with this agent was due to the fact that it was very good communication and no nonsense, to be honest. I mean, you know, he said what was doable, what wasn't doable. He was straightforward, and I liked that. I liked that sort of straightforward communication. And we've had that ever since, to be honest. If he says something's not a goer, it's not a goer. If he can do it, he'll do it, and there's no mucking about. And I like that direct, straightforward approach.
And would you say, I don't know very much about property investment, and mostly the people that I chat to are people who are buying holiday homes, and this is different. Would you say that, therefore, the properties you're looking for were different? What was your criteria when you went to these agents?
Definitely. I wasn't necessarily looking for a property that we would, our company or myself would be interested in spending time in necessarily or having as a vacation home. It was more about location and, you know, the most rentable unit, a two-bedroom unit with a pool, with, you know, all the sort of facilities, nearby shopping, nearby beaches, that sort of thing. So we were looking to get that. And also, to be fair, at a price that allowed us to develop it, make it great, but not have the burden of trying to recoup our money over a terribly long period of time. I was looking for about a 10% return or something like that. So that was the criteria. It was financial and also area and the building and these sort of things.
And for you, it was your target was going to be the rental market. It wasn't that you wanted to do it up and flip it and sell it at a profit. It was that you were trying to get things that would appeal to holiday makers predominantly. Am I right in saying?
Absolutely. And to be fair, on behalf of our firm, also having locations if they go for a period that are not rented or they only rent out for 2 or 3 weeks in the month, that there is, you know, the facility to be able to go there and enjoy the property too. I mean, there is a little bit of lifestyle involved in it also, but predominantly it was for what we could do on the rental market.
Fantastic. And did you feel like you were shown the correct things? When you first contacted your agent, you had all of this in mind, you conveyed it to them. Did they then take you on? You said you had properties in mind, but did you also view other things?
We did. And to be fair, some of the products that we looked at, our agent, Daniel, was pretty honest about it. He said, don't do it. This is not right for you. This won't rent. That won't rent. So the one we settled on was, you know, within a private complex, by the golf course, etc., near to the sea, near to the beach. So, you know, we were quite easy, you know, in dealing with him and understanding that he had a good idea of what, because he also, I think, does lots of rental as well. I think he had a good idea as to exactly what the right property for us would be. And to be fair, he was spot on. And knowing the local areas, it's very easy for somebody from the UK to come over and think that we know what we're doing because we rent properties in the UK and go over. But without that local knowledge, you could make some serious mistakes. And I think it's really important that an agent holds your hand on this and is upfront and honest with you. It'd be much easier for him to lead us down a different route and say, I know this one's much more expensive, but this will make you money. That's not what happened here. And I think he understood he was building a long-term relationship with us. And if the first unit or the second or the third didn't work for us, then there wouldn't be a fourth, a fifth or a sixth. So I think it's of course in the agent's interest to look at it from a long-term point of view, which to be fair, some don't.
Right. And so you don't ever build that trust with them, because trust is a huge part of these kind of client relationships, right?
Absolutely. And trying to sort of walk through a minefield of a different country and trying to find out where is the best place to get the best deal on furniture or, you know, electricians or whatever, all these sort of things that you have to think about, which perhaps a lot of people don't necessarily think about when they're getting into property in Spain. I think having somebody who knows that market, doesn't lead you astray, puts you in contact with the right people, it actually made it very, very simple. Once we'd got the right connections and the right support network there, it was very easy to roll out the second and the third apartment. You know, getting internet installed and getting the energy company on board, etc., pointing us in the direction of the right local lawyers and you know, council offices and so on. All these sort of things are really important, and it would take a lot of time and a lot of research and a lot of risk-taking to do this completely by yourself. But with somebody holding your hand who's been doing it for decades, it made it a much easier and smoother you know, situation than it could have been.
And how did it differ from the process in the UK? Because obviously you do this in the UK, but this was your first foray into Spanish property. What for you were the central differences, or indeed the central worries that you were kind of tentative about when you were first starting?
Well, the worries first would have been not knowing the market, not knowing the rental market, not knowing the right location, all these sort of things that we discussed. The other issues are there is a bit of bureaucracy involved. There's no doubt about that. I think everybody would understand that. And, you know, dealing with the banks can be an issue. I don't know if other, you know, your other people that you've discussed have found this as well, but especially if you're dealing perhaps with a bank repossession, they have a portfolio of products, first come, first served. You can do a deal, and that deal might not necessarily go through if you don't get all the boxes ticked very, very quickly. So that sort of situation, if we had to deal with banks in a foreign language, with foreign legal system that we didn't understand by ourselves, that would be tough. But having the support of an agent who deals with them on a daily basis and knows people, has connections that he can put you together and talk the same language, if you know what I mean, that's a great help. So between our agent and our solicitor and us working with them and taking advice from them, that really helps smooth the process, I would say.
Fantastic. And then, so from the point where you first see the property that ends up being yours to the point where you're looking to get renters in, how long are we talking between those two things?
I think you have to allow several months for sure. The legal process of getting the first property done was longer, but that was part paid, part mortgaged. Because it's a commercial property, it was slightly more difficult. We had to put up more funding. The other ones were much easier because we just paid for them and we didn't involve the banks in that to make the process easier. But certainly the first one that had a mortgage attached to it was a few months to get the paperwork done and over the line. And then because we bought basically a shelled product, we had to then get the contractors in and so on. So to be honest, that took about 6 months to get that product from zero to open, if you like. The second property, because we purchased them straight, really was just a couple of months to get the contractors, their conditioning, all the sort of bits and bobs that we needed to do. So that was a much quicker process. But also, we learned by then. We understood the process and what we had to do and attaining a touristica license and these sort of things. So it gets quicker, but I think allowing a few months on your first journey is probably wise. I think anybody who thinks they can just go in, like they maybe could do in the UK, just take over a property and be in within a few weeks, I think they have to be realistic and allow for a bit of a learning curve and allow a few months to get themselves in a position that they're ready to go from zero to open.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually thought you were going to say longer than that for the first one. But it's interesting that you went for something more complicated to start with, and then it sounds like properties 2 and 3 became simpler. Was that a choice from the outset? You thought, you know what, I don't want to deal with the banks for these. I don't want to have to do the entire of the interior, all of that kind of stuff.
Well, partially, but also by the first one, we'd sorted out our solicitors, the touristica license, the power of attorney, things like that. So that and we had a good trusting relationship with our solicitors by then, and I'd met them several times at their offices, and so we had a relationship by then. So at that point, it's much easier to just do a transfer, get them to sign the documents for you, go down to the town hall and sign the documents there, etc., without me having to go back and forth to complete the process. So it does take longer on the first journey because you're learning all of this and putting a team in place, if you like. But after that, the team's in place, so everything's much more rapid.
And what has the feedback been like, both from renters who kind of have experienced the properties, but also from your team? How have they found the process of buying in Spain for the first time?
We're quite happy now. I think on the first journey, it was a little bit difficult. There was a few times we were tearing your hair out, and thinking, why is there so much bureaucracy? Why is it not so simple as we would find it doing deals in the UK? But after a period, we wouldn't have done properties 2 and 3 if we didn't find that, you know, we now understood the system and we were quite happy to proceed. And at this time, we're quite happy now to look at further opportunities. I think it's a little bit difficult, Beth, as you understand at the minute, because the world's a different place. And, you know, I can understand that lots of people would be very nervous and unwilling to go down this road at the minute. But at the same time, to be fair, nothing is forever. We will all get through this current situation that we're in, and there's never been a better time in the last decade or so, since the last financial crisis at least, to seek out opportunities, do deals. And, you know, if that means that there's better deals, better opportunities on the table, you can maybe save a little bit of money. That's of some comfort. Especially when these things take several months to put together to get to market, you know, there is a bit of comfort there, and perhaps in the future, in the long term, there will be more gain, more reward as a result of it. So I don't want to come across as opportunistic, but, you know, at the same time, you know, agents and, you know, banks and people need to move on. They need to sell the properties. They need to refurbish properties. We need to do what we need to do to continue looking after our future. So therefore, I don't think it's a bad thing that we should look at what the opportunities are on the market right now. And if we can capitalize on them, we should do so.
And that is why you are a businessman, I think. I think right there is the exact ideology that you need to be successful, really, is you have to be always thinking about how this could evolve and how this could change. What are your hopes kind of 5 years down the line? Are you thinking you want to expand into other countries? Are you thinking that Spain has lots more to offer you? Do you think you'll go for more properties there? What are your hopes?
No, absolutely. I think we want to look at a couple of other markets. I think we understand Spain now, and I think it's reasonable to assume that we will expand further in Spain. But, you know, would definitely be interested in looking at other opportunities in other countries as well. I understand that perhaps our agent also has some involvement at the minute in a couple of other countries. So we'd probably be keen to continue to work with that agent, just from a safety point of view and the fact that we have a relationship now. But yeah, it's certainly on the cards. And I think that, you know, if we can, at this time, if there is capital available, if we can afford to invest in properties, even though we won't get a short-term return, if we can invest in properties that are great units that have, you know, all the right things that we're looking for, then the future, when we do bounce back, and we will, the future will be better as a result of it.
And geographically, do you see any regions of Spain in particular that you think will stay popular, or places that will become more popular? What are your kind of thoughts on the geography of Spain, where you'd look at?
I have to be perfectly honest, Beth. I don't know. I'm just looking from a point of view as what areas are, you know, good in terms of, you know, footfall with, you know, for tourism. What are areas that are improving? I'll take my lead from our agent, who can keep us abreast of opportunities that come up in whatever area that might be. But I don't think the local markets very well in Spain. Perhaps just the areas that I like will be the ones that you know, because there's always going to be downtime. There's always going to be days and weeks where the units, and perhaps over winter, where they don't rent as well. So might as well have some units that you're quite happy to jump across to and enjoy.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a fantastic way to do it. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat to me today. And that's a really, really interesting perspective on the property market in Spain. And I'm sure you are right that things right now are so up in the air, but that they will improve and that we will see change. And it's just great that you've had three positive experiences so far.
You're more than welcome, Beth. It's been great to talk to you too. Okay, all the best.
Thank you for listening. And thanks to Gary for sharing his experiences. And to Spanish Property Experts for making this episode possible. It's so interesting to hear the perspective of someone investing in property in Spain, and great to hear that a positive experience with estate agents still makes all the difference. Remember, if you like what you've heard, you can search this agent's properties and more on Quiero.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. This podcast was produced by Quiero.com, and our mission is to connect you with estate agents and properties throughout Spain. Whether your dream home is a rustic farmhouse surrounded by olive groves or a lock-up-and-leave apartment on the seafront, you'll find everything you need at Quiero.com. We love hearing how these podcast episodes have helped you find your dream home in Spain. Please do continue to share your feedback with us. And if you've enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate you taking the time to review and rate our podcast on iTunes or your preferred podcast listening app. Your feedback, reviews, and ratings help us reach and connect more people with their dream home in Spain. And whenever you're ready, here are four ways we can help you. Ask a question by emailing beth@quiero.com. We'll try and answer them all in an upcoming Q&A episode. Get a location guide by emailing beth@quiero.com. We'll reply with the latest data and information on the areas you're interested in. Calculate your budget. Simply visit quiero.com/budget, enter two numbers, and you're done. Be our guest. If you've already purchased your home in Spain, we would love for you to share your story on the podcast. Just email beth@quiero.com and we'll take it from there. Tune in next time when I catch up with Chris from Newport, who opted for an apartment also in Vera Almeria, to replace the previous family holidays in the Gower in Wales. I'm sure he'll be able to tell me about just a few differences. I'm Beth Davison, and you've been listening to the Quiero.com Spanish Property Podcast. I'll see you next time.